Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Is that his answer?
Oh, yeah. That works. Oh, yeah.
People make mistakes.
People make mistakes at certain times, at certain quizzes. It's fine.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Gaelic football on Off the Ball.
With AIB, proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
You're very welcome back. Mickey Hart is back into intercounty management. He is going to be the joint boss of the Offaly senior footballers for the next three seasons, along with Declan Kelly, who was the Offaly manager last year. Offaly confirming that the former Tyrone and Louth manager is now in place for those three seasons. He left Derry only 4 weeks ago. They won Division 1 at the league this year, but then were knocked out of the All-Ireland Championship in the quarterfinals by Kerry back on the 10th of July. Of course, it was a stellar period when he was in charge of his own county, Tyrone. Three All-Ireland titles, six Ulster Championships won during an 18-year spell. Things went pretty well in Louth as well. Back-to-back promotions from Division 4 to Division 2 of the league. Got to a Leinster final, and then he made that surprise move a year ago to become the Derry boss in September of 2023. But now he's going to be the joint manager of the Offaly footballers. Delighted to say we've got Morris Brosnan with us. Morris, this came out of left field.
Absolutely, yeah. If ever there was a need for... A lot of GA journalists were very grateful to see this news come along, Will, when it's a dull week in the middle of August and you're looking for something to talk about, and Mickey Hart and Offaly deliver. It's a blockbuster move. It is absolutely blockbuster. Probably, in one sense, it shouldn't come as a surprise. I think anybody who's listened carefully to Mickey Hart over the last couple of weeks, whether that be at post to Derry quarterfinal or his BBC punditry work, he has made it very clear that he is not finished with the game. And it's pretty obvious that you would have to be a fool to think the game was finished with him. His CV speaks for itself.
When I watched him on BBC's coverage around the All-Ireland final, my first thought when they were asking him about his future, I thought he would be holding out, maybe assessing options for a little while. There are some, let's say, vacancies further up the food chain, like Monaghan, like Westmeath, which are available at the moment. I thought he might be more attracted to possibly even the short trip to Fermanagh. I wasn't sure if dipping into Division 3 in Offaly and becoming a joint manager was going to be his next move, though.
Yeah, that's the element of it, which is a real surprise, that for all intents and purposes, as far as most of us knew until today, basically, there wasn't even a vacancy in Offaly for him. So the fact that it was the county that it was is the stunner. But look, this time of the year is very funny. And the more you ask about it, the more you talk to people, the more you realise that there's all kinds of things going on in the background, that there's, whether it be actual changes, whether it be recruitments, whether it be these, which has become a part of the process now, which is these reviews, these end-of-season reviews. And you'd have to imagine that off the back of one of those that we saw an appointment like this. So it was a very mixed season from an Offaly perspective, that the, you know, barely surviving in Division 3. Getting to a Leinster semi-final against Dublin was pretty good, but the Tatlin Cup and the London defeat in Pickley was a disaster, really. So you can absolutely see why a manager who came through with incredible underage pedigree with an All-Ireland win under his belt could be used, the experience that Mickey Hart will undoubtedly bring. So as a match, it makes perfect sense, but it still was, given the fact that we saw these big vacancies elsewhere and didn't realise there even was one here, it was a surprise.
Yeah, because in a way I can understand this, because Michael Dignan's logic with his appointments previously, when he brought in Liam Kearns, his idea was he wanted a very experienced manager who had done it elsewhere because it was a very young panel. Very sadly, Liam then passed away suddenly and they had to kind of pass it around a little bit. Martin Murphy came in for a brief period. And then I believe the search that summer was again to try and get an experienced manager from outside. But ultimately they would go with Declan Kelly, and they would very much speak up the fact that he had won the All-Ireland Under-20 Championship and this was appointing from within. But I think there was a very clear trend that they wanted an experienced manager. So in a way, going for Mickey Hart maybe isn't that much of a surprise, even though he's a huge name. But the thought process of how they've come to this, there was a very clear line leading back to 2 or 3 years ago.
Exactly, yeah. And there's the element of this that goes often overlooked is how did the Offaly review go? Like, what was the nature of that? And presumably we'll find out a bit more about that from Dignan or from Declan Kelly himself over the next couple of weeks. But they obviously identified, as you've outlined there, there was a void somewhere that Mickey Hart was perfect to fill. So that the experience, what he will do for a setup is vital. It should be said, like, one of the most interesting lines in the statement to me is the fact that the backroom team is going to be confirmed over the next couple of weeks, because I think a very big trend, and Mickey Hart will tell you this himself, is that regardless of how the cult of the manager that exists in GA now, your coach is vital. Like, it is absolutely vital who comes in as a coach. And to that end, there's a huge appointment to be made here where you've got Gavin Devlin gone back to Loud. It looks like that partnership is over for the time being. So who does come in that regard? Because, I mean, you talk to players, especially about Mickey Hart, a lot of the positives he has, but it's not tactical. Like, that's not necessarily his job. He is a facilitator. He's an organizer. He's very good at setting a culture and establishing that tone from the off. But in terms of the on-pitch stuff, that has to be presumably somebody else. And Vinnie Mooney did it for Offaly last year. Presumably, there's been a lot of names linked to Offaly in a coaching capacity over the last couple of weeks. There wasn't, as we found out today, it was actually a manager that was going to be the first appointment. But that still has to be filled. So this is still a waiting to see, I think. We're still going to see. There could be further blockbusters to come. Fingers crossed from our perspective, there is, and they'll give us more to talk about.
Yeah, there you go. See, Offaly, just complete box office. Gives you plenty to write about in the fallow period of the intercounty season. It's also an interesting appointment because of Michael Deignan's role in this as well, Morris. So he's right at the end of his five-year tenure, and the time is ticking down on that. And there was a decision to be made within Offaly whether Declan Kelly was going to be retained or not, because, as you say, Tailteann Cup was a bit of a disaster after the Laois game and after the defeat against Dublin. But obviously Michael Deignan is now gone, and by all talk at home, the feeling seems to be that he brought Declan Kelly and Mickey Hart together for this. So Michael Deignan has played a key role as he gets ready to exit as county board chairman.
And another standout line in this statement was, I thought it was very interesting that Mickey Hart had it included that he wanted to thank Michael Deignan for his professionalism and honesty during their meetings. And that was one of the quotes that was included. And it is I have to say, it's a team with Offaly in that very little gets out in hurling or football that you don't, to what this link wasn't established. The Tomás O'Shea thing, for a lot of intensive purposes, when that was announced, came totally out of the blue. Likewise, John Mahon. So this stuff is kept in-house. I'd say it came together pretty late in the day, and as soon as all was, the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed, that they felt in a position to announce it. But it is a testament to that has to go down to Michael Deignan. And I think you can get caught up in labels, and there can be I think there's a negative connotation with joint managers in the GAA as a whole, when the reality is that I would say a lot of relationships are effectively joint managerships, but they don't just put the label on it. And the reason that there's negative is because there's just so few of them. So they do the negative examples obviously will stand out in regards to what we saw in a place like Mayo. But then you have the case of the two Bryans in Armagh, or, Art McCurry and Eugene McKenna in Tyrone, which was pretty successful. There's joint managers in Tyrone who won in Ireland not so long ago too. So this stuff can be, I think there are other current intercounty management teams, which maybe the label is, in certain cases, even vice manager, but for all intents and purposes, it might be joint manager. So I can absolutely see why Michael Deignan sat down, looked at this partnership, looked at what was there, and decided the best course for us is to get Mickey Hart in, to allow him to get the assurance, to let Declan Kelly build on some solid foundations, especially from the 20s, and that transition is still ongoing, and said, yeah, this is the right fit for us right now.
And they'll sit down and they'll probably talk about the flow of power. I would imagine that Mickey Hart, though, probably goes in feeling that he's going to have the final say on things.
I mean, it'd be hard to, for everything we know about him, it'd be a very hard thing to overrule him if he has his mind set on something. So yeah, I can imagine there's an element of seniority in that. But that's for management themselves. There's human relations that are going to need to work that stuff out. But look, this stuff, I think this is, in some ways, is kind of natural. I remember back when Fergal Owen first came in, he was made it absolutely clear that between himself and Brian Duher, there is no boss, that the relationship fits right for them. So I think that's how their relationship goes. I think it will vary from degree to degree. Like, you go back to Mickey Hart, he took over from joint managers in Tyrone, and he was succeeded by joint managers in Tyrone. So the relationship in the first case was Art McCurry and Eugene McKenna, who, I mean, again, did some very impressive work, got the Northern Ireland final in 95. They won Ulster titles in 95, 96. I'd say that was the first time in 20 years that an Ulster provincial had gone back-to-back at that stage. Cape, obviously, in 2001, come back in. It's a reasonably successful year. They're obviously appointed to go again in 2022, and Art had to step down because of illness. But the origins of that relationship was manager captain back in the 80s, that Eugene McKenna was over in San Francisco and was basically coxed back in, and there was a start of a fairly fruitful partnership. And then you look at Mickey Hart in between, and you could say the same thing about himself and Horst Evelyn in terms of the origins of a relationship between player and manager. And I know it wasn't ever called joint manager, but you can be reasonably confident that Gavin Devlin had a huge say in a lot of what went on in Loud and definitely in Derry. So I think the nature of that relationship will be ironed out between them, but I don't see it as being an issue, certainly not.
For Mickey Hart as well, I suppose path, I would say, beyond Tyrone is incredibly interesting. So this is a guy who already had 20 years of intercounty experience between underage teams in Tyrone and the senior team behind him. He decided to go to Louth, which was an unusual project. Plenty of potential, some very good young players that he would have known about before he went in, but still taking them over at Division 4 and at a time when winning a Leinster was an impossibility because of Dublin's dominance. Then he goes to Derry, which put a few noses out in Louth, understandably, given how late he left last year, but the feeling was he was going to a team that were almost the finished product. They won the McKenna Cup, they won Division 1 of the league, came flying into Championship, and then the year kind of fizzled out a little bit. Offaly is such a different project to now take on, even after those two. You certainly couldn't accuse him of not taking on varied projects post Tyrone here.
Yeah, you absolutely couldn't. And at the same time, you can see in his mind what would have made the case that Offaly is the project that is right at this moment in time. Like, you can correct me here if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Offaly bet Loud in Mickey Hart's first year when he went in there in the Leinster Championship.
They did. It was the COVID year where I think Shane Lowry got the full Ed Sheeran treatment, where every single Shane Lowry move up in the stands, I think they cut up to on GAA Go that day.
But, you think about the underage success that was there for Offaly. He would have, I'd say, I'm reasonably confident he would be very familiar with these players as well. The established connection with Michael Deignan, everything that goes with it. There are footballers, it's a thing that you notice the more and more you go to club games. I was at a club game in Galway here on Saturday, and there was an awfully underage footballer who I hadn't seen play in years. I played when the Sigurdsson Cup in 2022, and he was absolutely flying for Hugh Gerard playing wing forward. So there, you come across that a lot from an awfully perspective. I think last year was, a lot of the stuff that will need to be righted, I don't necessarily know is a football stuff. It's about a setup, it's about an environment, and that's what Mickey Hart is excellent at. That's the stuff that he knows really well. But I go back to it, there still is the caveat in terms of what are they going to do from a coach? Because that's the big thing. It's such a vital, that still needs to be made, but it's going to be finalised in the next couple of weeks. It is a huge decision facing a lot of counties right now. Like, you look across Division 1 and Division 2, there's a lot of change from a manager's perspective. There's even more change in terms of backroom teams, and the hunt is on for good quality coaches. And there's a lot of names doing the circuit, names who have been linked to counties in varying capacities, both as managers, but in particular to come in from a coaching perspective. And that won't change.
Did Carl Donoghue play well in the match you were watching, by the way? Because he was man of the match back in the All-Ireland 20 final, 3 years ago now.
He did, yeah. He played very well. He was playing a tough ask, playing against reigning champions Cara Finn, who at half-time could bring on Patrick Egan, Dylan McHugh, and Patrick Egan and Jack McCabe, three Galway intercounty players to come on at half-time is not bad going, but he was excellent, yeah.
I don't know if we can draw a line. You've already said it's kind of Mickey Hart's not the guy to go in and change the tactics. That may well be his football coach, or that may well be down for someone else within the setup. Like, I don't know what we can read into Derry's changes under Mickey Hart this year. Was it him that changed their style of play during the year, or was that an external influence?
I'd be reasonably confident to say no, because he's never claimed to be the full decision maker, the shot caller when it comes to tactics and the on-pitch coach. I think that's Gavin Devlin's brief. And tactically, and Derry players will tell you this themselves, tactically they did not adjust in-game well this year. And it was a consistent team, starting with the Donegal game, going right to was absolutely as prevalent, the Armagh game, I think, but in particular, that they just did not react when things were going badly. They didn't, especially in terms of just something as simple as conceding a kickout, they did not adjust accordingly. But that's the appointment that needs to come. So there will be, I think there are coaches now, there'll be people that will look at Offaly as more of an attractive proposition now that Mickey Hart is there as well. Like, that is definitely a factor, that if you're a Jason Sherlock, if you're a Ryan McMinniman, if you're a Mark McHugh, and you're thinking about what's the next step for you as a intercounty coach, you could do a lot worse than learning from Mickey Hart in a reasonably a setup like Offaly and everything that goes with that as well. So there's an attraction there too.
Yeah, because it seems to be this lazy stereotype that Mickey Hart is going to come in and play this very defensive football. We didn't see that. You watched Derry in the league and they were, their halfbacks were pushing on and they were scoring goals and they were, certainly weren't playing any, let's say, tired idea that Mickey Hart plays in a certain way.
Yeah, that's rubbish. Like, it is genuinely... a couple of years ago, my colleague and examiner, Kieran Shannon, wrote a column for the Tribune, which was basically, it was kind of leaving search questions that for Gaelic football, questions you would ask, and it would very quickly determine how does somebody stand, how will you have anything in common with them? So questions that I often think about that you could pose somebody and you get a very reasonable grasp quickly in terms of how quickly do you understand Gaelic football. Talk about Mickey Hart's, whatever about the 03 team, the 05 team. Did Jim McGuinness ruin Gaelic football? Ask them about Aidan O'Shea and you'll very quickly get a reasonable grasp of just exactly how well do they understand football. So for me, like, the 2005 Tyrone team was one of the best Gaelic football teams we've ever seen. I you go back and watch the final against Kerry, it was phenomenal, both in terms of they had six out and out forwards, like some of the six best forwards we've ever seen in Croke Park, but then they had banana stuff, like, you know, they had wing backs soaring up underneath the Hogan's hand that day, soaring left and right foot, able to hand pass off both sides. His technical skills were absolutely perfect. I mean, the idea that he was too defensive with Loud is, if anything, it's the opposite. I mean, think about the Loud performance against Dublin where they this hold absolutely full court, everybody out for their own kick out. It's completely open. If they lose it, they were ultra exposed, but it absolutely was not being too defensive that cost them there. And I think it's fairly obvious that that was not their what cost them with Derry. It was the thing that they reverted back to at the very end when they were panicking and just trying to salvage the season. So they definitely went back to a very, it was a more of a Rory Gallagher game plan than anything to do with Mickey Hart. But to make it, the football that Mickey Hart wanted to play, we saw that in a league final, one of the most thrilling league finals we've ever seen in Croke Park, which was incredible, you know, front foot, ultra aggressive runners from absolutely everywhere. So yeah, look, I wouldn't put any major truck in that. And again, it's I don't think that will be his full call either. I think the next coaching appointment, that when we get that back in team finals, it'll make this, the picture will become a lot more clear.
Yeah, and I think as well for Derry, look, Derry are on the search at the moment for their next manager currently too, is that maybe it was actually the quick succession of games that caught them a little bit when they were trying to readjust as well, because Donegal had to be a little bit of a shock to the system, and then they got into the All-Ireland Championship and kind of couldn't play their way into the first two games of the group stage, and then because games are kind of week on week as well, they had no time really to adjust.
They didn't. And I mean, to what extent are we... this? The obvious thing is what we see in terms of what is going on the field and their football and tactically where they're falling. Whereas I think there's a broader picture too. There's stuff that we don't see behind the scenes that could have equally be a cause for how quickly it sunk in the manner it did. So, I mean, Derry was just the perfect storm this year, really. Like, it was a recipe for disaster in terms of the absolute circus that followed around. It's not Mickey Hart's fault, but the commentary around when he was actually appointed in the role definitely didn't help. You had some key injuries, probably stuff that was overlooked really in the grand scheme of things. I think of a guy like Padraig McGrogan, who was so pivotal in 2022 especially, and to miss a guy like that out of a half-back line, which is effectively your power. You had Gareth McInnes getting sent off and everything that came with that. It was just, you know, the young players who were bursting onto the scene, who looked ready-made to take over senior football, and suddenly they're hamstrung, literally. I mean, in certain cases, literally hamstrings were holding them back. So it was just a recipe for disaster. I don't think it was a tactical failing as much as it was a bunch of different combinations that in some cases exaggerated each other. But I think I'm sure that was a conversation that Michael Dygan and Mickey Hart had, that they sat down and Michael Dygan has to, he usually do his due diligence. He has to ask what exactly went wrong in Derry. And I think Mickey Hart can fairly easy point to the, as he called them after the Mayo game in Castlebar, the snipers, just that he never was able to shake them off. Like, that mood was there throughout it all. And that has its own cascading effect as well. So I don't think that would be, I mean, that one season is not, as we've mentioned already, I think it's 23 consecutive seasons in intercounty management. There's enough proven there that you'd say Offaly have probably made a fairly true choice here.
Oh, look, if I was Mickey Hart, my question would be, what happened to you guys against London and against Limerick this year? I would have been asking the questions as much as Michael Dygan asking them across the table. Gaelic football here in Off the Ball is in partnership with AIB. They're the proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. You can check out the hashtag the toughest for more. Morris, there are some vacancies that are available right now. We mentioned Derry, you mentioned Monaghan. Westmeath need a manager right now after Desi Dolan stepping down at the tail end of last week as well. Are you hearing anything about any potential moves around there?
See, I think a lot of this stuff is funny in that there's a butterfly effect to all of this kind of things. There's a ripple effect basically where that, you look at the Derry situation. Did any of us see McCarrick going in there? Did any of us see him necessarily leaving? The fact that he's left, does that prompt other counties to make moves and think we could go and get him, and this is the blockbuster appointment we need to become, to go to the next level that we want to get to? And then suddenly there's, I'd say it was more than awfully interested in Mickey Hart. I'd be reasonably confident to say that. And by the same token, I think that now that he's been appointed, it's going to prompt an interesting reaction elsewhere. You know, there's coaches who could also double up as managers. So I think Jason Sherlock is a name that's been linked to a lot of counties now, both from a coaching perspective, but also from a manager perspective. And it'd be particularly interesting to see where he does end up. I think a county like Monaghan or Westmeath would absolutely be interested in a guy like that. But you've got a lot of coaches as well who will certainly have their name out. You've got other situations that are still to be resolved. Like this review that I think naturally it's fair to say prompted this appointment in Offaly. These reviews are going on in other counties. My colleague John Fogarty wrote about it in Mayo right now, that there's conversations to be had about the makeup of their own backroom team. You look at counties like Galway where the season finished very late, how much has been finalised in that regard. So there's a huge amount of, there's a ripple effect of all of this stuff, Will, that is going to unfold over the next couple of weeks. There are brilliant, you know, absolutely renowned coaches who also could double up as managers. So it just depends on, if Galway managed to hold on to Keane O'Neill, great. If not, there's a name that a lot of counties are going to be contacting, both from a coaching perspective but also from a management perspective.
I think, look, you're over in Galway at the moment. I think Park Joyce will want to try and keep that management team around him, won't he?
You'd hope so. I think to me, this is phase three of his management. Phase one was obviously proved to be pretty rocky. Phase two was some really work done. They've gotten to a very successful level. Phase three is, it's not revolution, it's evolution. So, yeah, from a Galway perspective, I think it's fair to say locally the sense would be that hopefully Park Joyce remains on, and as much of the tickets stay on as well. If there is maybe a slight fresh up, that'll have to be resolved reasonably quickly, because the case across the board here is that, you know, football is ongoing now. You need to have, I'd be adamant about this, managers and selectors need to be at club games, not for a PR exercise or to be seen to treat it with the importance that it has, but because it is a proven avenue for players. There's guys who put their hand up in club football, and if you're there, if you can spot it, it absolutely will filter through from an intercounty team. So this stuff needs to be resolved reasonably quickly. And that's not unique to Galway. That's unique to basically every single county who are currently have championships unfolding.
Yeah, the merry-go-round is on the move at the moment. You can read Morris writing about it, of course, in the Irish Examiner. And if you don't want to miss out on any of the action, check out the GAA Daily. Listen in on the OTB Podcast Network. We'll bring you the latest news and stories Monday to Friday. GAA Daily and Off the Ball is with thanks to Optimum Nutrition. They're the proud sponsors of the Gaelic Players Association. Morris, thanks a million.
Thanks, Will.
Gaelic football on Off the Ball.
With AIB, proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship. Check out #thetoughest for more.